me in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask your blessing upon this time. We ask that you would come and fill us. Fill us with your presence so that as we reflect on your word, it might come into our life. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we continue through the story, and this week we come to God's messengers, the prophets. The prophets have a lot to say. Elijah, Elisha, Amos, and Hosea are the prophets that the story that we read focused on. And they had a lot to say about worshiping other gods, about doing justice. And by that we mean not just doing what seems right to me. I always find it interesting that when it works to my advantage, I never call it unfair. Have you noticed that? If I come out ahead, I never say, well, that wasn't fair. Fairness and justice are not exactly the same thing. Justice says that we reach out to give to those whom God loves what they need. And you know what? Sometimes that's not fair, but it's just. The prophet spoke these kinds of words, and for the large part, they were completely ignored, weren't they? They were ignored for the same reason that our kids just showed us in the children's message. They were ignored because they didn't want to, the people that they were spoken to weren't interested. I don't need to listen to that right now. I got some other stuff going on over here. I got enough to focus on in this break. And by the way, it's going pretty well. So why would I want to mess any of this up? Sound familiar? You see, that's what the story does, is it lifts us up to see in the word of the Lord ourselves. And I always want to identify with the right people. When I come to God's word, I'm always like, oh, okay, well, you know, if it's the gospel, we'll look at Jesus and the disciples. And I usually don't try to identify with Jesus, because that just seems dangerous. And somewhere along the line, my Sunday school teacher said, got that message that we just talked about, there is a God and you're not it, across to me. So that one I can avoid most of the time. And yet, what do we call? We call people all the time to be more like Jesus, right? Well, we should be more like Jesus. And we call the church, this community that we're a part of, and that not just this congregation, but the church at large. What do we say? The Bible tells us that the church at large is the body of Christ. Well, so maybe we should pay attention to what Jesus does. And so we do that sometimes, and that feels pretty good. Most of the time, I think, I pay attention to what the disciples are doing. In the Old Testament, in passages like this, I look at this and I say, well, maybe I should be like the prophet. And that's okay, because what does the prophet have to do? The prophet has to speak the word of the Lord. Whose job is that today? Don't point at me. Because if you are, there's going to be three fingers pointed right back at you, right? That's right. It's our job. That's the role of the church, to speak the word of the Lord. Who else is going to do that? And it's not just left to people wearing dresses, right? It's not just left to people wearing robes and stoles and things like that. We have that responsibility to train you, to equip you to be able to speak the word. And if we aren't doing that, and you're not doing that, then the word isn't being proclaimed. Sometimes the word is proclaimed better by those we would never expect to proclaim it. And I know that to be true because it hits me in the face at times. I remember there was a time I went to, when we lived down in Dover, we went to the mall up in Canton because they had a mall in New Philadelphia, but it wasn't really a mall. It was kind of a collection of things. And so we would go up when we wanted to do some serious shopping. We would go to Canton. Woo! And we would get to Canton and we'd go to the mall. And you know what my favorite thing about every mall is? The food court. That's my favorite place in every mall is the food court. And so when we would go to the mall, I was always excited to go to the food court. And I sat down in the food court and we could, you know, the food court is great because you can get food from wherever you want. And you don't all have to eat at the same place. That's fun. So then you come back to your table and we sat down. And I sat down at my table and I noticed that the people sitting just like kitty corner across at the table next to me, it was a really young guy, a lot younger than me. And he had really spiky hair, and he had a lot of piercings, and he had a lot of things going on, some tattoos and all kinds of stuff, and his friend looked much the same as he did, and I was just like, oh, okay. And I was trying not to judge him, but I was. Not one of my better moments. I was trying not to judge this, but I was, and I was just kind of sitting there going, well, I'm just going to kind of keep quiet and we'll talk and we'll see how this goes. I'm sure it'll be fine. And I wasn't really worried. I wasn't scared. But I noticed him and what I noticed and what went on in my head, I'm not proud of this, but what went on in my head was, well, I'm just going to kind of keep an eye on things. Well, as I was keeping an eye on things, I put my drink down. And you know, they give you those trays. And the trays are big enough to carry everything back, but then they're too big to have two trays on the same table. Have you been in that place? So we put the trays down, and there's two trays on the table, and I put them down, and it was just Dana and I, and Dana had her stuff, and she had it all organized and beautiful like usual, and I'm a mess, and I put my tray down, and then I took my drink, and I put it down, and I hit the edge of my tray. And so I hit the edge of my tray, and it tipped, and then it fell off of the table. And then, of course, it hit enough that the lid fell off, and all of my soda went all over the place. And then I was like, oh, I didn't get any napkins. Because Dana's organized, and I'm just as it goes. So now there's soda all over the floor, and I'm like looking around, and I'm trying to check things, and you know what happened? The tattoo pierced, spiky-haired dude sitting next to me handed me about 30 napkins and started cleaning up my mess. And the word of the Lord was proclaimed to me that day, and it said, Tim, you need to check yourself because the world doesn't look like you think it does. And God is at work in a lot more places than you're allowing yourself to see. And my eyes were opened. And I still remember that day very clearly. I remember it not because I did something great, but because I did something really stupid. I just looked at this kid and I thought, I'm just going to keep my eye on him. He was exactly who I needed at exactly the time I needed him. Had he come up to me and started to talk, would I have listened? Probably not. Who are the people in your life that we aren't listening to today? How much of our world that God is at work in? Do we say, I don't have time for your message? How often do we get so focused on what is going on in our own lives that we forget that God might be up to something entirely different? How often do we get frustrated with those barriers that show up in the middle of what we're doing And we say, oh, God, get rid of this thing for me. And I wonder sometimes if God isn't saying, why would I do that? I put it there. Because you're going in the wrong way. There was a widow in Zarephath who had nothing left. She had been living in a time of famine, just trying to get by with her and her son. And as often happens, it wasn't going well. They weren't getting more and more. They weren't getting more and more secure. They were getting more and more close to, this is the end. And as they went, this famine occurred because a prophet had said, until you come back to worship the Lord, it will not rain one drop. That's why there's a famine. And that prophet's name was Elijah. And the widow at Zarephath, as she's going out collecting sticks to go home and use the last little bit of meal and oil that she has to make a little cake for her and her son so that they don't have to die with nothing in their stomach, encounters Elijah. And Elijah says, what are you up to? And she says, I'm just getting sticks together. We're going to make this cake. I'm going to go home and I'm going to make it. And then my son and I are going to die. How are you today? She's at her last little bit here. There's no more room to listen to anything. And Elijah says, okay, great. Go do that. But before you make it for you and your son, why don't you make me a cake? I'm not proud of this, but I had to punch him in the face right there. That's what he says. She didn't punch him in the face. She was too shocked. And so he got to continue, and he said, the Lord has told me that the jar of meal will not run out until rain falls on the earth again. And you know what she did that's so amazing to me? She listened. She listened to a word that made absolutely no sense in a time that she had plenty going on. And part of me says, well, you know why she listened? Because there was nothing there for her, right? If this doesn't work, she's still done. And so there's a sense in which we will listen when we have no other option, won't we? And I see that in her, and I see that in me. But friends, we've been given this story so that we can have our eyes opened, so that we can see the world differently. And so that maybe, just maybe, we will start to listen before we get to that point where we can't do anything else. But also, we've been given this story so that we may see that when my world starts to look like there is nothing else but death, the word of the Lord might come. The word of the Lord does come. And in death, there's life. And we know this even further because there was another widow, a widow in Nain, centuries later, whose son died. And Jesus was there and said, he had compassion for her. And he goes and he touches the casket. And he says, get up, rise. And the dead man rose. Because the word of the Lord brings life. So whose word will we listen to? The word of the Lord brings life. In both cases, all the people around would have looked at this and said, that makes zero sense. In your life today, you know the challenges in front of you. You know that maybe it's not a challenge. Maybe things are going great. I hope that they are. You know what? They were going great for Israel too. And the word of the Lord came and said, I understand you've got some good things going on here, but don't forget the word of the Lord, because that's where life is. See, we want the word of the Lord to sound like me. Well, not like me. Like you. You want the word of the Lord to sound like you. I do too. Sometimes it does. And we give thanks that God has called us to speak His word. But sometimes it looks a lot different. Sometimes it makes no sense. But always it brings life. Today you'll hold bread and wine in your hand. And it will be the life of the universe. As you go from here, you'll speak words like thanks. And you'll speak words like tell me more. I'm not sure I understood that. What do you think God is up to? And you will be in the word of the Lord. And it will bring life. May God work in your life today to bring you His word and to bring His word through you to others. For in Him alone, we have life. Amen.